For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
A factual data creation facility production.
Welcome to the OFNT podcast, episode 218, which I'm calling Busy Times. After completing an exhausting jaunt down to Tennessee last week, well, I get to do it all over again next week. This time for the closing on my new house. I'm also getting my security system installed the following day and all the utilities started. I only have one choice of internet provider and it's not a good one. I'll see what kind of a deal I can wrangle from them and hope more providers come online in the future. Alrighty, let's get going now. It's going to be a short one as I prepare for my trip. In fact, most episodes going forward will likely be shorter until my move is complete. You know, some might take this as good news.
Yes.
I have a correction. Some episodes back, I referred to the now discontinued Apple Taskbar, which was sort of a mini touchscreen that was included with the older model MacBook Pros, as the Taskbar. I knew I was wrong while I was recording, but just couldn't for the life of me remember the correct name. And before I start, I'll give a brief synopsis of my recent road trip. We had a late start on Tuesday, not clearing my driveway until 6:30 in the morning. About 30 minutes into the trip, I remember that I had forgotten my iPad. I always seem to forget something, don't I?
Yes.
Due to the usual rush hour traffic and the seemingly mandatory vehicle accidents, we didn't clear New York until about 9 o'clock, but it was smooth sailing from there until we crossed into Pennsylvania and became entangled with what to us appeared to be every truck on the northeast coast trying to go south on the insufficient two-lane road, which is Route 81. After facing delays through Pennsylvania, we blew through Maryland and West Virginia until crossing into Virginia proper, which is the longest leg of the journey. It was made even longer by a torrential downpour of rain that lasted the entire trip through the state. We finally made it to our hotel in Tennessee just before 10 that evening, a little over a 15-hour drive. Spoiler alert, the drive is supposed to take about 10 hours. The drive back was much the same, but without the rain. We left Tennessee at 6 a.m., hitting the usual truck traffic through Pennsylvania, which delayed us enough to hit the evening rush hour traffic in New York. We arrived back here at 8:30 in the evening, so only a 14-hour drive back. Next week, we're going to leave New York at 3 o'clock in the morning so we can at least beat the morning rush hour traffic. I don't think there's any way around the truck situation in Pennsylvania, unfortunately. We plan on leaving Tennessee early on Friday morning. Tech news. It was a surprisingly busy week in tech, but unfortunately, I'm on a tight schedule here. So I'll just cover what I consider as being the major stories, or stories that I found interesting. Up first, Google held its annual I.O. event, which is for developers. Well, it's supposed to be for developers, akin to Apple's WWDC. What we actually got was over 2 hours of artificial intelligence announcements. The dreaded AI. Veo, spelled V-E-O, is Google's new AI video model, and I've got to say, the demo was pretty impressive. If Veo works as Google claims it does, it will bring the ability for anyone who knows how to use it to make movies. It's scary, powerful stuff. The only limitations is that it can only produce videos with a 1080p resolution, but I'm sure this will be improved with time. Google introduced a new Trillium CPU chip for its cloud computing services, boasting 4.7 times the performance of competing chips. Well, again, this chip is only for cloud computing. Google's AI model Gemini will become the standard for search no matter what hardware you're using, bringing products AI overview and AI organization with it. You can also use live voice for search and chat. What Google is calling Gems are personally tailored digital assistants. Gemini is now context aware, which will help with writing, for example. Those AI-created college papers and homework in general, I guess, will be hard to spot going forward.
Yes.
Gemini will replace the Google Assistant as the default digital assistant on the Android operating system. So, no more Hey Google or whatever. The Big G promises the security of on-device AI processing, hint hint, with what they are calling Gemini Nano with multi-modality. Yeah, we'll see. The new version of Android, which is version 15, is mostly an iterative update. There were no major updates to the look and feel of the UI from the last version of Android. The beta of Android 15 is available for download right now if you're brave enough to try it. You know, I miss having an Android phone because I would have liked to play around with Android 15. Oh well. Some of the minor updates for the world's most popular mobile operating system were private space, which will allow the user to store things on your home screen that are password protected. Screen record was updated to allow one to record either the whole screen or just one app. The volume control user interfaces have been updated with new, more colorful sliders.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm sure Android users were just screaming for this.
No!
And now, any digital wallet can be made as the default, which is a very convenient thing to have. What we didn't see is anything about the Pixel tablet or Google's Chrome operating system, which I found disappointing. I feel that the Chrome operating system is the most disruptive product that Google has to offer. If the company would just keep cranking out Pixel laptops and keep prices lower than Windows or Mac OS-powered competitors, I feel they could eventually get a foothold in the market. As I've said before, if Chromebooks had high-resolution screens, backlit keys, a decent camera, and quality construction, I'd have bought one instead of a MacBook and use iCloud.com in order to access my Apple apps. Now, you can find those features I just rattled off on Chromebooks, but not all in one model. And if you do happen to find a Chromebook with all those features, the price is equal or more expensive than a MacBook Air.
What?
So what would be the point? Because of Google Chrome-powered computers having the lion's share of the education market, they'll keep Chrome OS around. Well, that can't be said for the Pixel tablet, which will probably be discontinued next year. So to sum up this year's Google I.O., it was all AI, all the time. In order to stop Google from hogging up all the AI spotlight, our buddies over at OpenAI announced ChatGPT 4.0. That's the number 4 and the letter O. A video which demonstrated the new capabilities of the chatbot using Apple iPhones, hint, hint, revealed a very conversational, dare I say flirty, female voice digital assistant, which seemed to have been modeled after the AI from the movie Her, which was voiced by actress Scarlett Johansson, who I actually met many years ago while working. She was a then unknown 19-year-old actress returning from England, where she had just finished filming the movie Pearl Earring. She was pleasant enough to talk to, and she told me to watch Lost in Translation, claiming it was her best work. But I digress. ChatGPT 4.0 strikes a similar voice and mannerism as Miss Johansson did in her part in Her, very conversational and fast enough in responses to be mistaken as human. I found this sort of scary. When Big Tech gets around to making automated sex dolls, and you know that they are. I feel this version of ChatGPT will be the leading candidate for its AI module.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but the words dystopian future come to my mind with all this AI advancement.
Yes.
Oh, and OpenAI was rumored to have disbanded the company's essential AI risk team last week.
What the hell?
Coincidence? I think not. Unlike most other weeks, I don't have any real Apple news to bring you.
Aww.
That's okay, I'm sure I'll get over it. However, Apple is rumored to be in talks with both Google and OpenAI in regards to licensing the respective company's AI tech for Apple devices. The conjecture here is that Apple will use the Big G's AI tech for processes, while using OpenAI's tech for bringing Apple's digital assistant Siri into the 21st century, finally. Being that Apple presents itself as the high-tech privacy company, These AI modules will somehow be required to run almost exclusively on the device, not using external sources such as servers and the internet. Can Apple actually accomplish this?
I don't know.
Well, me either. I think we got some hints of what Apple is planning to do from both Google I.O. and the OpenChat GPT 4.0 announcements, as I alluded to earlier. Google announced the Gemini Nano AI module, which was touted as being able to run on device for security, and ChatGPT's 4.0's chatbot being demonstrated using iPhones might be revealing. But I'll remind you that I have no inside sources, so what do I really know? I believe Apple will use both Gemini and ChatGPT until the company can develop its own AI model, which will eventually become the operating system, replacing iOS and its variations, and macOS. What do you think? Tech I'm using. You know, I really missed having my iPad with me during this last trip to my new abode last week. I had to watch the New York Yankees baseball game on my phone, which, despite its large screen, was not optimal. I had also planned on starting the script for the podcast while in Tennessee, but I just wasn't motivated to attempt writing it on my phone. Which proves the point I made in the last episode of going with a smaller screen for my next iPhone. Well, I won't be forgetting my iPad on this upcoming trip down there, and you can bank on that. Besides taking the final steps to complete the purchase of my new home, I'll be setting up the utilities, which includes internet service. There's exactly one option, well, one good option for internet providers in the semi-rural area I'm settling in, and that's Comcast Xfinity. Who, shall we say, have a less than sterling reputation. I'll probably wind up getting a package deal, which will include cable TV, and have a 2-year contract. Of course, I'll be able to get rid of my current DirecTV stream service, and of course, my current internet provider, which will most likely even out those costs, at least for the first 2 years. After that time period, Comcast increases the cost exponentially. My only hope is that some other internet provider comes into the area, like Verizon Fios, for example. As it stands, I should be getting 1200 Mbps down and 40 Mbps up of internet speed. I'm also having a security system installed, and I've decided to go with the full package, 24/7 monitoring with a doorbell camera, door and window sensors, and a rear camera. That's because of having to go back and forth between New York and Tennessee for a few months, which will leave the new place vacant at times. One has to be careful in these uncertain times.
Come on, man.
And that's no matter where you choose to live.
I got hairy legs.
I know, Corn Pop told me. I'm also planning on buying a Peloton indoor cycle, which I've been wanting to do since the pandemic times. With all the reports of bird flu, it seems as if the powers that be are gearing up for another health incident spectacle.
It's all fake news.
Let's hope that it is, Mr. Ex-President. But if it's not, I want to be more prepared than I was last time. Entertainment news. I've talked in the past about the Apple TV Plus television series Sugar. Well, what I thought was a straightforward, hard-boiled private detective story turned into what I thought was an international spy thriller, but the show is actually more far-fetched than that. If you haven't watched Sugar yet, I won't spoil it for you. The first season wrapped up last week, revealing that this whole first season was nothing more than a setup for the real story to come. Well, color me interested. My favorite series on Apple TV Plus is Slow Horses, and it's good that season 4 starts soon, and I'm really looking forward to it. Actor Dabney Coleman has passed away at age 92. While not well known as he should have been, Mr. Coleman was a staple of movies and television from the late 1970s until his final television appearance on the series Yellowstone in 2019. Mr. Coleman was most active in the 1980s. His movie credits from that era include 9 to 5, On Golden Pond, Modern Problems, Tootsie, War Games, Dragnet, and many others. Well, to be frank, I never really cared for his acting, but I'll always have a soft spot for his movie Cloak and Dagger. It was kind of a children's movie, which my then young children enjoyed via videotape years after the movie's theatrical release. I must say that I did like Mr. Coleman's later appearances, such as in the television series Boardwalk Empire, Ray Donovan, and the movie Domino. Above all, Dabney Coleman was a staple of my young adult years, and just like those years, he is now gone. Rest in peace, Mr. Coleman, and thanks for the memories, good and bad.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Podcast news. Because of the recent purchase of my new home, I'll be shuttling back and forth between New York and Tennessee for the foreseeable future. Hopefully, I'll be fully settled into the new place by autumn. What I plan on doing is bringing my laptop down to Tennessee along with an old interface and microphone, which I'll use to record this podcast while I'm down there. So if you notice a difference in audio between different episodes, well, that'll be the reason. I'll be using the editing tools which come standard with the Hindenburg Digital Audio Workstation instead of the better and more expensive tools I use now. Well, who knows? Perhaps the sound and show will be better that way. The British Broadcasting Corporation, better known as the BBC, is considering having advertisements on its United Kingdom podcast, and this angered both competing non-publicly funded competitors and the UK public. Some 20 media businesses got together for an open letter criticizing the BBC's plan, saying that it set a dangerous precedent that might result in advertising across all BBC services, which of course are funded by a license fee imposed on UK citizens, and was created for public interest, not commercial success. The BBC has adverts on its media outside of the UK, but has never done so within the UK. The media businesses also claim that the UK podcast and radio ad market is not large enough to sustain both the publicly funded BBC and the commercial sector, and that the commercial sector would be at a disadvantage if the BBC should start accepting advertisers. While using the US's National Public Radio and the Public Broadcasting Service, NPR and PBS respectively, as examples, both were initially funded by taxpayer dollars. However, over the years, these so-called public media companies started receiving grants from large corporations and eventually full-blown advertising dollars. With their coffers full, both NPR and PBS rapidly expanded, creating and funding countless spin-offs. The first casualty of all this extra funding was objectivity in the reporting. The second casualty was listeners, who have been steadily declining, especially in the last decade. Like NPR and PBS, the BBC has taken a hard left as far as their reporting goes. I first noticed this for the BBC back in 2003, and it has only gotten worse since. The BBC has also been cutting way back on its external services, losing Britain's most effective soft power tool. I know I no longer listen to the Beeb like I once did. Back in what you may hear being referred to as the day, I usually accessed the BBC via shortwave, considering the service as being the most objective source of world news. Well, that's no longer the case. Though I can find the BBC on my local terrestrial radio and television, at least I'm not forced to fund the BBC. Well, not directly. We do have those ads. This is just another example of news media no longer being a public service. It has become just another means of profit. Money talks and the rest walks. Sad times.
You are fake news.
Well, I sort of agree with you there, Mr. Trump. Unfortunately. The music is playing, and the end of this short episode is upon us. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I enjoyed making it for you. If you like what you heard, you can make a donation using the link in the show notes. Any and all donations will be greatly appreciated. You can always reach me at ofntpodcast@gmail.com, and that's only if you're so inclined. I'd enjoy hearing from you. Well, wish me luck on my travels. And remember, don't listen to what they say. Watch what they do. Hey, what are you all still milling around here for? Pack up your gear and get off my lawn. Stay skeptical. I'm out.
See ya.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.